Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT here at the main grill microphone. Dr. Dave's at the bar, like normal.
Yeah.
And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and our home stations here in Portland, KUFO and KXTG. The game, we're always looking for new people in the barbecue world, and we found a couple of good ones here. There's a new restaurant in Vancouver, Washington, Smoke and Oak Pit and Drinkery, if I got the name correct. Eric Gill and Brian Rogers brought Real Texas Barbecue to Vancouver. I want to know how that happened, so we're going to find out. Today, I thought we'd go back to Texas with a little music from Waylon Jennings. How's that?
Nice.
Do that. Yeah. So, guys, welcome. How are you?
Great.
How did you, first of all, get together?
Well, we originally met in college at Washington State University, and then we both went our separate ways, or in different ways, I suppose. And
sure.
We've always been in very, very good friends, and he, Eric, convinced me that Vancouver was the right place and right time to open a Texas-style barbecue restaurant. So,
were you guys in food sciences over there? Or you were just into whatever?
We spent quite a bit of time at the bars on the hill. We had a great time there in Pullman. I moved to Portland after school, and then up to Vancouver shortly thereafter, and Brian lived with me for a brief stint, and he had his father's pit that his father had built in the early 80s, I believe, and we had a short stint at a little catering gig. We did a few cooks around town, and then Brian ended up moving out to Minnesota, and this has just kind of been a back burner kind of project dream for the last 15 years or so. We've been in Both been in the restaurant industry basically our whole lives. To answer your question, though, I was hotel restaurant management at WSU.
What about you?
I was, but like you said, we didn't see much of the classroom.
I know, I get that. Trust me. I went to Cal Poly and to Oregon State, so, you know, I like walk right on by some of those buildings. They scared you. What in the world possessed you to go back to Minnesota?
That was after a girl. And it wasn't back, it was for the first time. But the great people out there, ended up spending a few years out there and then migrated back down to Colorado, and family's all in Texas. So
they didn't get you to eat lefse, did they?
Absolutely.
I tried it all. Yeah, it's tough. So when did you decide to actually like say, okay, we tried the catering thing, this and that, it's been on the back burner for a few years, when you jumped in and said, let's do this?
Eric, about 3 years ago, I was living in Breckenridge, Colorado, and he really started bringing up the conversation. He and his wife, Kimba, who's also are heavily involved in the business, they would come out and visit me and would go skiing all the time. And one night we were sitting down talking, and he kind of just pitched it to me that, you know, this is the time, this is the place. What do you think? And I'm sure there's something I've forgotten there, but
yeah, no, we're just we're both career restaurant workers, kind of getting into our mid to late 30s. We figured this was our best opportunity to take a shot where we're young enough to miss and recover, and you know, old enough to maybe not screw it up too badly.
There you go. Tell me about the Kickstarter thing.
That was just we were kind of beg, borrow, and steal anywhere we could get money, because we designed and built the pits ourselves. We started about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we completely remodeled the space that we're in. Was originally an old garage. Most recently, it was a coffee roasting facility and little coffee shop. But it was very bare bones when we got in there, just 3,400 square feet of blank concrete. In fact, we had to take out 4 yards of concrete to put in all the underground. So all the framing, so a little over about a year and a half from when Brian first moved here, and we were basically all I had done at that point was find the tanks for the pits and drive all over the Northwest to go pick them up. But we borrowed quite a bit of money. There's not a whole lot of traditional revenue streams for first time restaurant
guys.
So lots of family, lots of friends, lots of awesome people helped us along the way. But that was one of the things we turned to was a Kickstarter just to try to get some extra money. And it ended up being
it worked.
Yeah, it worked great. We got just over an extra $11,000 out of that. So
well,
thank you to anybody who contributed there. It was pretty cool and very humbling to see the support for us.
When I stumbled on that last night, I was, of course, looking at your website and stuff, and I saw that, and I thought, that's really quite ingenious. I never heard of, and I don't follow that, you know, Kickstarter crowdfunding stuff very much, but I had never really heard of it when you're just starting a restaurant. And I thought that was pretty cool. And the support that showed, you know, I thought that was pretty neat too.
Yeah, it was really neat. And we figured if anything, it would be some extra awareness, you know, get our names out there and what we were trying to do. And it ended up being quite successful.
Well, you get some t-shirts out there too, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Smoking Oak t-shirts. That's kind of thing. So Brian, did you come up with the menu?
I came up with a lot of the menu. All the menu items are from my family. So I wouldn't say that I came up with every recipe.
Sure.
That I would never take credit for that. But I was lucky enough to be born in a family that had these incredible recipes, and I thought that's the way everyone ate every night. And then as I got older, I realized people didn't eat that way every night. And he started realizing in college that he used to be the ketchup king, and now he won't put ketchup on anything.
I will tell you a quick story. How much we got enough time to tell a quick one? I went to work in Arizona right out of high school, and I could cook. I mean, that's one thing I'd learned to do already in life was cook, and I was fairly skilled at it for my age. The guy I worked for is a very famous horse trainer and all this stuff, beautiful ranch. It was his birthday, and his birthday was December 28th. So his wife at the time said, "You can cook." I said, "Yes." So we went down, we bought these ribeyes. They were probably 1.5, 2 inches thick. I opened them up and I stuffed them with mushrooms and oysters and some seasoning, and I grilled them and they looked beautiful. And then we had some baked potatoes and a Caesar salad and all this stuff. I mean, this is what would be today would be a $70 plate at a steakhouse, you know, like that. Get there. Gene looks at that and he goes, "Man, that looks good." And he grabs that bottle of Heinz ketchup. And I just about shot it. You know, like, yeah, my heart was broken. Then I talked to him a couple years ago. I said, "You still putting ketchup on things?" Because we'd go to Del Frisco's in Kentucky. And again, very expensive, you know, and eat their big fillets or something like that. And out come the ketchup bottle. And I noticed that the waiters and the maitre d's and stuff in there wouldn't come into our room. They gave us a separate room all the time. And I think that was why they wanted to put ketchup on.
Probably.
That's heathenistic to them. Your family's from Central Texas?
Yes, sir. Kind of all over. They've all migrated to my dad's side's all West Texas, Midland, mm-hmm. Odessa, and then they've all kind of migrated to Austin, surrounding area. My mom's side's all from Tyler, and they're still either in Tyler or very close to. Central Texas.
That Austin, San Antonio area, that's really hot in the restaurant world. It has been for a while, but it's really, really cooking, as they say down there. No, that's true.
We took a little trip down to Austin the summer before last, and I think we ate at like 27 barbecue joints in 4 days. It's about 100 degrees outside, 90% humidity.
Yeah.
No,
but it's all good, though. It's all good. Hey, we're going to come back with Eric Gill and Brian Rogers from the Smokin' Oak Pit. Who came up with the name, real quick?
Eric.
Eric did?
Definitely.
All right.
Played around with a lot of names.
Smokin' Oak Pit in Vancouver. It's also a drinkery if you will. We'll talk about
the made that word up.
The drinkery? I like it. Okay, we're going to take a break here. We're going to leave you with a little Waylon Jennings. We'll be back on Barbecue Nation in just a couple minutes.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will. Making their way. A long time forgotten, our dreams have just fell by the way.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave. We've got Eric and Brian from Smoke and Oak in Vancouver, Washington. Imagine that, Texas barbecue in Vancouver. So before we get back to Eric and Brian, I want to tell you, you can email us at BBQNation, that's BBQNation at KXL.com. You can also do recipes if you want to send us a recipe, and we'll talk about it. If it's a good one, we'll get you a prize. Also, we have Facebook, which is, and we've got phones beeping all over the studio here. Unfortunately, it's mine and Dave's. Our guests are being rather civilized about that. Our Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. And say hi to a couple of our affiliates today, KWRO in Coos Bay and KACI, the Dalles in Hood River. Thank you for being with us on the Radio Northwest Network. How about that? Now I got all that in there. So your family developed these recipes over 100 years, or what's the deal?
Over three generations.
Yeah.
My both grandmothers developed a few, both grandfathers. My father kind of took it to the next level with, as far as the meat goes. Mm-hmm. He was the first one to actually build a offset barrel smoker on a trailer. He built that the year my brother and I were born. So we've been cooking on those since we could walk. My brother, in fact, when we were about three, he left his handprints on the firebox. He was excited. Some friends of my dad showed up in the driveway, and my brother went up and said, "Look what we, you know, look what we're doing." And he put both his hands up on the firebox and left them on there. But
oh, geez, ouch.
We've insulated our fireboxes on our smokers, so that won't happen.
Hey, it was the 60s or the 70s, whatever, and you know.
It wasn't safety first.
It wasn't safety first back then. Of course, we didn't have as many lawyers back then either.
So. that's actually funny. My brother is a lawyer now.
Is he? Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell him I said hi and stay in Texas. Is that cooker still going?
Yes, sir. So we've named all the smokers in the family, and that's named after a Guy Clark album, Old Number One, and that's my dad's. That's the original. And it's a 300-gallon smoker. And then we built our own over about a 12-month period last year. And our mobile smoker is called the Pistol. And the big smoker for the restaurant, which is a 1,000-gallon main chamber, is called the Big Show. And we are very proud of all three of them.
Now, are they on property? Are they on site right there, right outside?
Yes, sir. You have to walk right by both of them to get in the restaurant.
So what do people saying about them? I mean, this has got to be, there's barbecue places around. I mean, and they're fine. Not a problem. But I've noticed that the really successful barbecue places as of late are making it so you can see the smokers, you can smell the smokers. A place I was up at in Seattle, Jack's. I mean,
Jack's is fantastic.
Yeah. He's been on the show.
Yeah. Nice.
And, you know, but he's got his, they're kind of fenced in, but you can walk back there and see them. I got a tour, but, you know, that type of thing. So I think it's important that they be able to see those.
We agree 100%, and we will give tours to anybody that ever wants to see the smokers, and they are definitely on display, and without them, nothing would be possible. So we're very, very happy with them and the way they're produced, or the quality of the food they're producing.
Any modifications from the one that your dad built?
Yes, sir. We, on the mobile smoker, well, my dad's is a reverse flow. Ours are both natural flow. But other than that, we did put some propane burners so we can on the catering smoker and cutting boards so we can prep and stuff right on site. And we can make both our barbecue sauces and our beans right on site. And we also put a big stow box in the front of it so you don't have to utilize the entire truck bed. You can put just
our
more
stacks are quite a bit wider and taller.
Definitely.
A little harder.
Yeah. So like on the one you use in your catering, how many racks can you cook, like ribs, for example, at one time?
On that particular one, we could do 40, 50 racks of ribs.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
Fairly.
You're talking animal brisket.
So briskets, we have yet to fill that one up with briskets. We're just getting into the catering season, but we can easily fit 20 to 25 briskets on the pistol and 30 briskets on the big show.
That's a lot of cowboys. Pun intended. That's good. So what's your favorite part about this? Let's go with Eric first. Besides making money.
Well, that part hasn't come quite yet. we owe quite a bit of money to quite a bit of people, but it's definitely a means to an end. It would be tough to say a favorite part, but I think it's really cool that we're kind of achieving this dream, and we're doing it with my wife, whom I love very much, and it's her birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday,
Kimba.
And my best friends in the world. We have another good friend of ours, JT, who moved from West Virginia to come here, and he's
been slaving away.
Yeah, he has. He really was our pit master for the first couple months, and he's kind of working into a general manager type role. Someday, hopefully, we can step away and he can step in a little bit more. But I'd say my favorite thing is definitely just doing this with my family and my friends. It's pretty cool.
It's still fun. What about you?
I agree with Eric. My favorite thing has just been we've known each other for a long time, and there's been plenty of people that never thought that we would be doing this or could do this. And it's been the journey. I mean, for me, I had to move, halfway across the country, and it took a lot. And I couldn't imagine doing it without Eric or without Kimba or without JT or without the rest of the team that we've got at the Oak. And it's been cool just watching the whole thing develop from stage to stage, from hand drawing blueprints and putting up the studs and the walls to building the smokers and all of that happening in 13 months. And now we're open, and it's just been a roller coaster. So we've got a lot more coming down the pipe, and it's cool to watch everyone react and grow together and tackle obstacles together.
I would add, it's pretty gratifying to see this food that old Brian's been eating his whole life and I've been eating for the last 15, 20 years or so to see it legitimized in this way too, that all these recipes that we knew were good to have so many people and so many people that we respect. We've had authors for barbecue books come in and comparing our stuff to some of the best stuff in the world, which is really humbling, but super cool.
That's good. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back in a minute or two or three with Eric and Brian from Smoke and Oak in Vancouver, Washington. The new kids on the block, so to speak, but they know what they're doing.
A long time forgotten, our dreams have just fell by the way. And the good life he promised. Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT.
They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave. We've got Eric and Brian from Smoke and Oak in Vancouver. Again, if you would like to send us an email, it's very simple. It's bbqnation@kxl.com or recipes@kxl.com. Our new Barbecue Nation standalone website should be up and, well, we see it. We can see it, but it's not finished yet. But probably another week or so, I'm thinking. So that'll be kind of fun. We'll get you guys on there, do some stuff there. We were talking before we went to break, Eric. Isn't it kind of cool to see all the work, you were talking about the studs in the walls and nailing and putting up shelves or whatever. And you're talking about seeing the recipes come to fruition. Isn't that like the greatest feeling when people eat And I'm not talking about the people here, because these guys is a ravenous horde that, that cleaned out the food you brought on the counter in about 4 minutes. But I really think that's a great, I don't know really how to explain it, but internally you get this kind of warm, fuzzy feeling when you're happy and you see people are happy eating your food. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It, people ask me certain things, you know, like, do you ever get tired of this or not tired? Or what don't you get tired of? And I never get tired of somebody seeing their reaction on their face when I go up to the table and I ask them how everything is. And then they say, oh, this is this potato salad. And I say, well, that's my grandma's potato salad. And they say, oh, but this salad dressing. I'm like, yep, that's my mom's. And like, well, these are all your family's recipes. And I say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. And I don't ever get tired of that. And I'm so thankful that to my parents and to, you know, that we do have these, because
sure,
otherwise I don't know what cuisine we would have ever figured out, but I'm very thankful to have the barbecue. And
well, I think that, you know, I've interviewed a lot of barbecue people, and gosh, to me, very rarely is there any bad barbecue, but there's some a lot better than others. But when I hear somebody say, oh, I've worked on this recipe for a year, versus family recipes and stuff that's been for 60 years, you know, and worked up like that, and you can't tell how many people your grandmother fed or your mother fed at that picnic table or that kitchen table, and nobody ever went away hungry, and there wasn't a lot of leftovers, so you knew the recipe was a good one. And I'm always kind of astounded. I mean, yeah, people have to start somewhere, but I think we don't look back in our personal past enough to say, mom was a good cook. You know, my dad couldn't boil water, but I'd look at that. So who do you think was better in your family as a cook? Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, who?
I think.
Loaded question.
It is.
My mom is a phenomenal cook, and the stuff that we got to eat growing up as kids, like I said, I thought everyone got to eat that.
Sure.
So my dad's, you know, he's the grill side and the barbecue side. My mom's the everything else side.
Right.
I would second that. Ma Rogers can cook.
Yeah, she can. So, but my grandparents, I mean, they're all phenomenal cooks. So I couldn't pick who was the best. I mean, I'd have to say my mom.
Well, that's smart. Politically correct and smart.
But
how about you, Eric? Any cooks on your side that are notable mention?
Oh, my mom's mom, my grandma Florence, would be, I think, hands down in my family. Very different style. She lived her whole life in Endicott, Washington. Lots of German influence.
Sure.
Which there's quite a bit of German influence in barbecue too.
Oh yeah.
But, I didn't take to the barbecue passion until meeting the Rogers family.
So I got a question for you. Is there a picture of Ma Rogers on the wall at Smoke and Oak? If there isn't,
there will be. There's not pictures of anybody. Like, we've been so busy since we opened, we got the initial decorations up, and people have been giving us stuff that we're supposed to be putting up, and it's just there will be, but
yeah,
no sir, not yet.
Has mom and dad come to see the restaurant yet?
Yes sir, they were just out about 3 weeks ago, and
they gave it two thumbs up.
Oh, they were blown away, absolutely blown away. And my mom's like, how do you mass produce all this? Like, because she knows how much work it takes to make potato salad, to make mac and cheese. And we make everything fresh every single day, except for certain things have to be batched, like sauce. And potato salad has to sit for 24 hours before it's, you know, ready. So, but they couldn't be happier. They really.
It's quite the labor force there during prep time. There's probably, what would you say, about 9 or 10 people right there chopping away as we speak.
There can be in between 4 and 6, you know, any given point, sometimes more. But
so how has the public reacted in Vancouver?
I'd say it's been overwhelmingly good and fairly humbling. We've everybody seems to have a pretty strong opinion when it comes to barbecue, and I'm sure that you've run into that.
Yeah.
So we have to be real careful. The husband and the wife, as she always has to say, it's almost as good as what he makes on his Traeger at home. But
yes,
and there's we run into some pretty strong barbecue, and we've had criticisms both ways, but it's been overwhelmingly good. And Brian touched on this earlier. it is really cool when we get somebody who you can tell the ones who really know what they're talking about. And when we get some of those people, and some of the compliments that we've had have just been over the top. And I think there's not much of a barbecue culture in Vancouver. There's certainly is barbecue, but we ran into some flack when we'd be selling out, and people just don't understand that. They'd come in at 8, 9 o'clock at night, and be, what do you mean you're out of brisket? Like, well,
yeah,
we can't just throw some more on the grill. It takes anywhere between 10 to 16 hours to cook. So it's designed to sell out. We don't sell yesterday's smoke, and we're, I think, one of the few places that are actually committed to doing that. And that means that everything by design is designed to sell out. The perfect service would be we sold the last slice of brisket right to the last customer right before we close the doors, and that never happens. But we're always, every day is a guessing game as how much to cook, how much we try to keep pretty good logs of how the weather was last week. Obviously, we can't go too far back. Maybe 2 years from now we'll get better at it, but 2 years from now we'll still be guessing how many briskets to make tonight. And it's
well, and you're going to run into cost variables too at some point, you know, where it's break even, where's the profit start, and the labor costs. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you're going to run into that, or you're learning.
Oh, we're learning fast.
Yeah, but then you're going to get there and you say, you know, we can only do 15 briskets a day, or whatever the number turns out to be. But you know, you're going to say that because then it's just not worth it to you physically and mentally, you know, because as long as you two are keeping your hands directly on it, I think that's going to be very important for you. There, little philosophy from a guy who owned a restaurant one time.
Absolutely.
So, couple of, we used to call this the lightning round, but we're not going to do all the music and stuff today, but I have some kind of, how would you say, avant-garde questions for them. Do you ever smoke an armadillo?
No, sir. Not yet.
Were you one of the guys that used to, when they'd get turned into roadkill, you'd set them up on their butt and hold a Lone Star bottle? Nah. You never saw that?
No, we have one, though.
We do have an armadillo figurine holding a Lone Star bottle.
See?
In a restaurant.
Yeah? Well, I actually saw that a few times. I've been to Texas quite a few
times.
Can't
seem to get Lone Star up here. We do have Shinerbach on tap, though.
There you go. What barbecue cooking skill, whatever you want to call it, Brian, took you the longest to master, do you think?
I think time management takes the longest to master. Mm-hmm. To get, you have a lot of stuff you have to get done in a, it's actually not a short amount of time, but it's overwhelming, all the stuff you have to do when you're doing a full cook, when you're doing briskets, ribs, pork butts, sausage, chicken, all
right
in one day. Plus making sauce, plus making, you know, whatever. So I think the hardest part was trying to be multitask and still be, keep the smoker at temp and manage the cook, which we've definitely gotten. We're getting good at that. So
that's, well, yeah,
knowing when a brisket, you know, just knowing by feel, not having to, you know, poke a whole million holes in it, just knowing when it's done.
I got it. We got to take a break here in a second, but two quick questions before you go. Did you ever cook in the snow in your underwear?
I've definitely cooked in the snow in my underwear.
Hey, we got a winner.
For sure. I lived in Breckenridge for 5 years.
Yeah. Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
There you go. Last one, Captain and Tennille or Willie Nelson? We know that answer.
Willie Nelson.
There you go. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and wrap up the show with the boys from Smokin' Oak in Vancouver right after this.
Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave, and we've got Eric and Brian from Smokin' Oak Pit and Drinkery in Vancouver, Washington. Tell us about your hours and stuff.
We are, we've been open since November. We opened on November 16th, and we open at 3 p.m. Till 10 o'clock on the weekdays, and 3 p.m. until midnight on the weekends, as we do have a full bar, actually a pretty nice cocktail program. We are, however, very happy to finally announce, because we get asked this about 2,000 times a week. We, as of Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, April 10th, we will be open for lunch. And that was one of our biggest problems. We were, it was a good problem to have. We were selling out every night. We just couldn't cook enough food, but we've come up with some creative ways to fit some more food in the big show. We've welded a bunch of new racks in there, and we are pretty confident that we can do it now. So we'll be open for lunch Tuesday. And so our hours will be Tuesday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday, Saturday, 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. I'm sorry, till midnight. And then on Sunday, we close at 9. We're open from 11 to 9.
And where? Where?
We're at the corner of 5th and Columbia, downtown Vancouver. 501 Columbia is the address. We were right across the street from the convention center there, just kitty corner from Esther Shore Park. Kind of tucked behind the corner, right next to our good friends at Lewitt Brewery. I'm going to say the best brewery in the Northwest. These guys are fantastic. So we'll get a little plug for our neighbors there, too. And so come and barbecue and beer go pretty well together. So come check out the corner of 5th and Columbia.
We got a couple minutes left, so I'll start with Eric. Where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years?
3 to 5 years. So I say we'll get the second one open in Breckenridge and third one open on Maui and on a beach somewhere. There's the short answer. But that was part of the deal. Getting Brian, excuse me, getting a man like this to move from Breckenridge, Colorado, which is about the best place in the world for a skier and an outdoorsman that he is, where he was skiing 100 days a year, to move to beautiful Vancouver, Washington hills in comparison in some regards. So the deal was give me 3 years, get this thing going, and we'll get you back to the mountains. So that's the idea. The next one, we already started to talk about locations, at least Montana, Colorado, maybe Idaho. But we're going to try to do this again somewhere with some altitude.
There you go. Brian?
He answered my question. exactly right. We are going to push aggressively to get another location open in the mountains. We're not going to go too fast. We've got to make sure that we've crossed all our T's and dotted all our I's here. We've got our whole staff is pretty much family and people we've known for a long, long time. So we're grooming the right people to maintain this one. And then I will be going back to the mountains to somewhere in the Rockies and opening up number two, and then obviously we'll always be back and forth. And then eventually we will get Eric's beach location opened up.
Yeah.
That one might be a bit of a pipe dream. I don't know.
Or if something. We'll
have the energy for a third one.
But definitely two. And, you know, and we'll always, obviously, number one's always the baby. So
yeah.
We'll never cut corners. We'll never take shortcuts. We will smoke all night long, every single night. We will never serve daled smoke. We do have some pretty cool things that we can turn daled smoke into. Our chili is featured with yesterday's brisket. Our corn dogs are featured with yesterday's sausage. Our stuffed jalapenos have yesterday's barbecue chicken in them. We do smoke other things on the smoker. We have smoked beets, smoked portobello mushrooms. So there's definitely something for almost everyone.
Well, there you go. Sounds good to me. Remind me to give you my stuffed portobello mushroom recipe. The seafood. It's really good.
I bet it is.
It's really good. It's been a really pleasure to have you guys, and thanks for bringing the food for the crew.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure they probably licked the pans out there by now. But I wish you guys a lot of luck. Restaurant business is tough. It is tough, and it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of work. But knowing you two for this short time, I think you're going to do just fine. That's Smokin' Oak up in Vancouver, Washington, with Eric and Brian here. Anything you don't like about it really quick? Don't want to end on a sour note. It's not sour, but anything you'd change real quick? Got about 30 seconds.
Oof. I've never thought about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, not really either. We're not really the look back type of guys.
Well, see, there you go. That's positive thinking.
We're building a patio. I wish that was done already. That's the only thing I'll say. But it will be done soon enough.
Well, sunshine's going to get here eventually.
Yeah.
And you have our summer from, you know, July 1st to July 7th. So you don't want to miss that.
We won't miss that.
Anyway, we got to get out of here. So remember, everybody, it's Smokin' Oak Pit and Drinkery up in Vancouver off Columbia there. And Eric and Brian, you'll probably see them there next week. I have no idea who's on the show next week, but I know we've got some great people coming up. And remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com. For Dr. Dave and myself, we're out of here. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Masters. Take care, everybody.
Clyde plays electric bass.